Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
How do we approach differences? So let's pray and let's thank the Lord for the time that we have. Jim, would you pray for the lesson that we're going to be looking at?
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the blessed presence we gather together here in your house. Those glorious Lord's name. Just say praises, honor, and glory in your wonderful name. Remember today that you were born of a virgin. You left your throne on high and come to this sanctuary service. Walk among us and be an example for us, Lord. Be able to lay down your life for the sins of this world. And Lord, as we progress into the Sunday school hour, as we deal with this lesson, be with Pastor, and thank you for his education and studying out. We can rest assured that we know it is thus saith the Lord. And Lord, we all had times in our lives that had doubts. Have doubtful things, but Lord, let's examine these things, Lord, that we may be able to know for certain what the Bible says on these things, that we may miss truth in your word. Just bless this time, may we learn, and may we grow from what is being taught, all for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Well, when we do have doubtful things, it is always a blessing when Christianity and the things of Christianity are spelled out in black and white. Either thus saith or thus saith not. Do this, don't do that. However, there are times we get into the quote-unquote gray area. So what do you do when Scripture would neither condemn nor condone such an activity? When we had looked at this 2 weeks ago, there are numerous examples in which you could look at and consider. And so determines whether there is a doubtful thing that would be approved and acceptable or not. Well, we looked at some theological definition of terms to start it all off, and there were three of them. The first one was what we call legalism. That refers to enforcing works as a requirement for salvation. That's really the technical specific terminology that's used for legalism. Paul had to address that issue in Galatians. To some degree, even in the book of Hebrews. And we know that we don't obtain salvation by works. By the way, also, we don't obtain our sanctification nor our glorification by works. All the work has been done. All the work has been done. And then you got into the second one, which was license. And that refers to engaging in any activity disregarding biblical instruction, lacking sensitivity for biblical believers. So I do what I want. I don't care. It's my right, it's my privilege, I'm just going to do it, and God's grace is sufficient enough to forgive me. Well, Paul had stated in the book of Romans, what then shall we sin all the more so that grace may abound all the more? And he says, God forbid. We do not necessarily have a license to sin. That's not the way God intended it to be. There's no license. Okay, then number three, we get into what's called liberty. Liberty is an enjoying whatever Scripture neither condones nor condemns with a clear conscience, while not causing others to violate their own. So really what we're looking at is this particular topic. That's what we're really looking at. Not license and not necessarily legalism, but liberty. What is Christian liberty and how does it affect us? By the way, Christian liberty here, I put this up just as a reminder again. It may deal with this issue of association. That's like eating or not eating meat, which was used in pagan religious sacrifices. Okay, that's Romans chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Christian liberty may deal with issues of preference. Some observed certain holy days while others did not. New moons and others that weren't. Christian liberty may deal with issues of context. Where does this thing occur? And in modern day, I use the illustration of the one who had an issue with playing pool because it was taking him back to the days when he, as an unbeliever, gambled and was in the pool halls and such. And for another person, he just did it as a recreational thing. So the context can determine part of this as well. Christian liberty may deal with issues of culture. There are things in culture that are different. If you, on the different mission fields and different places I've gone, there are different cultural things. When I went to the Philippines, I didn't wear this to preach. I wore what was called a barong. And it was like, and I know in Mexico they have those, right? It's their very formal wear. It's very comfortable, and I'd rather wear that. It's like a nice shirt that kind of goes down to below the waist. And it's got some decorative things, and that's what they wear. That's their culture. And so if somebody goes there and says, wait a minute, how come you're not wearing, what's wrong with you? You don't have a tie on? Yeah, I don't have a tie on. Well, that, how could you preach without a tie? Well, culture. There are things in culture. So there, that has to be a defining issue when we deal with all these things. It was Warren Wiersbe who wrote. Now, one of the things you'll see is a definition between what is called the stronger brother and the weaker brother. And we can put sister in there as well. And both a strong believer and the weak believer need to grow. The strong believer needs to grow in love, while the weak believer needs to grow in knowledge. What do we mean by that? Because there might be some say, I can do this without a problem. Others say, I can't do this because it is a problem. This one here should say, well, grow up. What's wrong with you? No, this one needs to have some love and consideration. This one here says, well, come on, what's wrong with you? Nope, you need to grow in knowledge. So it is a combination of things. Now, to gear the ministry of a Sunday school class or local church only for baby Christians is to hinder their growth, as well as the ministry of the more mature saints. So the weak must learn from the strong must learn from the weak. Does that make sense? When it comes to these non-defining, non-condoning, and non-condemning issues, there has to be a consideration for each other. Now, here's where we get to the principles. Now, follow this thought. Number one, liberty prioritizes what? A love. You have to prioritize a love for fellow believers. We looked at this from last week, all right? Love is active because let's understand this. Biblical love is what we're talking about. We're not talking about this, the essence of love like defined in our culture today. Because if you had asked somebody on the street how they would define love, what answers might you get? A feeling. Okay, what else? Sensual. Yeah, that goes along with it. On the street, well, you fall in love and you fall out of love. Is that true? No, because when you look at love, love is unconditional, it's sacrificial, it's purposeful. This is all the definition from 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, remember 1 Corinthians 13 describes what love is, because love is a behavior. Love is not so much the feeling or emotion. It is there, but the driving point of love is action. I saw Rosemary and then Kathy.
I just think to mirror the ambivalence of the times, love is love.
Yeah, that is true. That is so true. Yeah. Kathy.
So, word unconditional.
Yep. Meaning, I will love you not if you do these things, but I will love you because. Now, hold that thought. Jim, you were going to say?
Unconditional love is love without respecting anything in return.
Correct. Now, again, when you're looking at that verse of Scripture, if you love me, keep my commandments. If I'm not mistaken, the if there is not looking at a hypothetical. There's four different ways the if clauses in the Greek language are expressed. One is a hypothetical. The main ones, one is a hypothetical, and the other is a reality being potentialized. So instead of if, since. Since you love me, you will keep my commandments. So a demonstration of your love for me is your obedience. Does that make sense? Okay. Any other thoughts before we leave love? Because Jesus did say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. So when it comes to these doubtful things, when it comes to these discrepancy things, this has to be the prevailing thought. Now, by the way, we are dealing with things that are doubtful. There are certain things in Scripture that are not doubtful. Salvation. Salvation has always been by faith through Jesus Christ alone. Okay? Marriage. Marriage has always been between one man, one woman. Okay? When you get in other areas like churches, or when it comes to the church, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. When it comes to leadership of the church, pastors are to be males. Deacons are to be males. It's not because God is chauvinistic. It's just that's the way it's been determined by standard. So we're not dealing with those things, but we are dealing with personal things, individual believers. Now, by the way, with these doubtful things, it is mostly in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, and Romans 14, they are dealing individually. So how do you deal with things on a more corporate level, or like on a collective level, like a church? There are certain things even in churches do that are left up to the actual church. Because when you get those things, you have to, again, apply these principles. So love. If I am engaging in such an activity, I must do so or not do so on the basis of love. Now, by the way, one of the driving factors of love is selflessness. There are sometimes people say, I want to do this because I want to do it. Why can't you accept it? Oh, you have to have it your way. Well, you know what? The person who says you have to have it your way is really wanting to have it their way. You know what I mean? And so what we find in Scripture is we have to be selfless. And that's why Jesus says, your lifestyle, your testimony is visible for people to see. And he says, all men. Who does all men include? Unbelievers and believers. Because you do have a testimony among other believers. So love. Any comments before we move on? That's where we left it off 2 weeks ago. Any further thoughts? Number two. Liberty contributes to the unity of the whole church body. So when you look at these different verses of Scripture, I know it's a lengthy one, but Romans 14, 16 through 21. Who might take that for us? Romans 14, 16 through 21. It's a lengthy one. Eric, how about Romans 15, 1 and 2? Amy, how about we go to 1 Corinthians 1, 10? Jim, 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. Marielle, and then 1 Corinthians 10, 29. Gary. So let's read these in a string. And again, this is sampling. And this is just, again, helping to, from the Scriptures, derive and arrive at a conclusion and a point. Okay. Romans 14, 16 through 21. It's lengthy, but listen as it's read.
Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Meat, destroy not the Lord. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man to eat it with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, who is offended, or is being weak.
All right. So really what he is saying here is, when you do or don't do what you do, you've got to have a consideration for others and for the testimony of Christ and for the church. How you interact and how things take place. Romans 15, 1 and 2.
Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification.
Ah! So Let me just go to this slide, because what you're looking at is the combination of and love and edification mixing together to determine whether you do or don't do this. And you're going to see, I'm going to finish this all with asking certain questions that will help you determine whether or not this activity or this particular whatever is acceptable or non-acceptable, approved or disapproved, yes or no. He says, this is, by the way, this is a good passage of scripture for developing a what you call a philosophy of church ministry. He says everyone is working together and fitted and supplied by that which every joint supplies. That's from the physical body, okay? Working together, it causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. So therefore, what I do is going to affect other people. And therefore, love works together with edification. If I truly love my fellow believers in Christ, then I will seek to build them up in the faith and not put a stumbling block in front of them to sin. Make sense? So going back, 1 Corinthians 1:10.
Now I beseech you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Yeah, so Paul had to write to the Corinthians right off the start, because there were some things they were doing that were not beneficial to the rest of the body of believers. The main one goes down in 1 Corinthians 11 with the Lord's Supper. Before the Lord's Supper, they would gather together for a feast, a meal. And there were the haves and the have-nots. And so it developed into almost a separation, a cliquish thing, and a disunity as opposed to a unity. Now, was it right or wrong to eat steak and lobster before the Lord's Supper? No. Was it wrong or right to eat peanut butter and jelly and whatever? No. The problem was the attitude that was demonstrated, and then the disunity and the cliquishness that separated the two. And you're going to the Lord's Supper to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for us to bring us to salvation and bring us into this church body. He says, you're hypocrites. Not only are you not showing love for each other, but because you're not showing love for each other, you're actually creating a division. You see that? Now, can you apply the same principle in your marriages? Can you apply the same principle on your jobs? We can apply the same principle, yes, in the church ministries. You can apply this principle because this should be the abiding principle by which we live. Because as believers, now catch this for a moment, as believers in Jesus Christ, it's not about what me, my, I, what I like, what I want, what I think, what I know. It is God first, then others, and then yourself. Did you ever hear anybody give you the acronym for JOY? J-O-Y. Can you say it? What is it?
Jesus, others, yourself.
So when it comes to these doubtful things, things that aren't black and white, things that are neither condemned, things that are neither condoned. I got to love that fellow believer in Christ, so I got to think about that person. I got to consider the unity and the harmony of this church body. What am I doing that's going to build up this body of? Because everything I do is going to have an impact or an effect, right? It says in the book of Psalms how beautiful or how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Satan is a master divider. He will do everything he can to create disunity and to cause selfishness. I want what I want. I like what I like. You've got to grow up. You've got to accept me. You got to tolerate me. I am who I am. I am what I am. Therefore, you better accept me. When the other person says, here, Jim.
That woman's 50 pounds here up in the stumbling block.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a stronger brother who sees his weaker brother having the issue with eating meat, whatever the case may be. He decides, I won't do it.
Yes.
Now, does he just not know, or does he go and explain to the brother, listen, I really don't have a problem, but for your own, because he's trying to make it mature.
Yes.
Does he give an explanation of why he's not and say there's really not an issue here per se, or does he just go ahead and do with actions and not put that stumbling block? Does he say why? Because he knows that he doesn't have an issue with it, and yet all of a sudden he's not doing it.
All right. Remember, too, the issue with this Romans chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians passage, 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, is what you call meat opportunities. Okay, is the meat wrong by itself? Neutral? No, the meat is neutral, right? If you buy a piece of meat from the marketplace, which they did, and that meat had been brought in by someone who had used that animal to sacrifice to an idol, okay? And he's gonna sell this prime rib, right? And the person is gonna buy that, and he takes it home, and he invites his brother over to enjoy his prime rib. Oh, this is great meat, where'd you get it? I got it in the marketplace.
Was it one of those that was offered over in the pagan temple? Yeah, it was. Oh, I'm so sorry, but that's offered to idols. Now, here's where the conflict arises. The one who is serving it, or the one who wants to eat it, does he tell this one, listen, it's okay, no problem whatsoever, get over it? Or does he say, I didn't realize you had such a sensitive conscience about this, therefore, let's eat peanut butter and jelly instead. Which one should he do? He would defer. He would defer, although this one here, I really love to eat this prime meat. This is really good. But he loves this fellow believer because this fellow believer, if he eats, is going to go against his conscience and do something that is going to violate because of the association with idolatry. And he has not yet grown to the point, or he's not mature to the point where he can say, it doesn't matter whether it's offered to idols or not. But because it does, he can't be stumbled. So because of love and for the sake of unity, he says, we will not eat. Now, after he goes home, that's a whole different story, because he's no longer there, and he has somebody, a neighbor stops by, hey, how you doing? Great. Did you eat yet? No, let's sit down. He can sit down with that person and eat to his heart's content, but he will not do it in the presence of or in the company of that quote-unquote weaker brother. He's not weak because he is unspiritual. He's weaker because he just not has not come to that conclusion. He's not settled that matter.
So he's just not offering an explanation of why. He's just saying, okay, this offends you. I'm not doing it. And then they can revisit it later as he matures in the faith.
Well, that all depends on the people. I mean, the person can ask for an explanation, and he gives an explanation, but then he wants more explanation, and he wants more explanation. Otherwise, you just have to come to the point, I accept that. I accept that.
Doesn't it say if someone offers you, at least be asked not where it came, just go ahead, whatever's giving a
agendism.
You know, don't ask for just if it is, whatever's offered, just go ahead and graciously eat.
In order to, now you're looking at the weaker and the brother switching places. Okay? So it's like, I don't care where it came from. I'm not even going to ask. And that's okay too. So it can get a little bit. And we don't want to be on witch hunts. You know, you sit down and you go to the grocery store. Where'd you get this meat? Who's the meat processing packing place? Who were the people that were involved here? And you get to the point, you will paralyze yourself to do nothing. You really will. I know there are some people who said, well, I can't go to a grocery store because they sell alcohol there. Others say, I just don't even go to the alcohol line. Okay, so now you've got one person who may have an alcohol background or alcoholic in the background, and they say, I just don't want to be, because of the association. And therefore, it's their personal choice. Nope, I won't go in. And so you get into discussions and conversations. It all depends. But the key is this. If there is a doubt by one of the other believers, out of love, you say, I won't do it. And for the sake of unity, I won't do it. Make sense? Whether you go into a great explanation or somebody, because, you know, honestly, you can get into situations where somebody really wants what they want. And no matter, and it may not be wrong, but there may be there may already be a settled matter. And so therefore, they're just going to keep on driving, thriving for more, because they want what they want, as opposed to just accepting the reality that I can't do it. I won't do it. Make sense? I saw a couple of hands. Don, I saw your hand first.
Yeah, so what I was taking out of that was, I just want to make sure I understand you properly. It's kind of like you're saying, don't ask where the meat came from. And if you don't ask, you just eat it. If you ask and you know,
yeah,
then you can't.
Basically,
so. Or if something, you know, pulls you into the fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a.
Well, also, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. On that basis, if I have a sensitive conscience, and I'm going to be eating with my brother, then I would show a love for him, and not ask, and not deal, not bring up an issue that needs to be brought up with, and create potential disunity. I don't know. Therefore, I can eat and enjoy the fellowship and the company without being so driven by where did this meat come from? Because sooner or later, you start focusing on issues that are not to be focused on. And that itself can be divisive and unloving. That's why the number one principle for all this is my love for my fellow believers. Whether it's not knowing, whether it is knowing. If it's known, then the one has to defer. If it's not known, then the one has to defer. Make sense? No? Yeah? Yeah, okay. Does that help, Don, by the way?
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not looking for that flag, but if you see them.
Yeah, when you go,
you use your judgment.
Exactly right. Because when you're going into a circumstance in a situation, now I've asked some people at times, if we're having them over for lunch, do you have any food allergies or aversions? People will not eat pork. Just won't. If I know that ahead of time, I'm thinking, man, I've been looking for a good, hearty, healthy ham sandwich. So if I know that, my love for this other believer, we aren't serving ham. For the sake of unity, I know this, so I'm not serving ham. See where that goes? Do you see how that all factors in? I saw another hand, I think. Kathy, and then I see Linda, and then Rosemary.
People really struggling with defining somebody as weak or having a clear conscience about doing or not doing something.
Yeah.
That's really kind of not sitting well with me.
Okay.
Correct. For example, you're wearing your tie.
Yeah.
You admit that that's not path is as biblical as it could be. But you're, that's your standard. Mm-hmm. And it's a good one. Mm-hmm. And it, it's to present a holy, if you will, a, I don't know what the word I'm looking for.
A priest, it's just presentation. It's a preference in presentation.
Okay. But, and I understand that you're saying you can't walk into another church and say, sinner, you know, yeah. Where, I get that.
Yeah.
But in the, within, like for example, and I'm not, I don't want to step on any of these toes, I really don't here. I'm not suggesting that everybody has to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
But I will say that there have been times when, because I'm from a school like that, I have had those to say,
weak does not necessarily mean the action. Weak means I have not grown to a point where I know whether something is right or wrong. That's what the term weak is. So their conscience, if they do something, it could stumble them into sin because they don't know for sure. Romans 14, 23, whatever you do, do in faith, because if not, you're sinning. That's the weak. You might be, you're in essence a strong. The other ones were the weak. Because they would look at you and cast down you and without any love for your and a consideration for your standard.
But so many times, and I think I said this last week, it's called legalism.
Yeah.
And I said it to me, what that's the Christian version of saying you have to be followed.
Yeah.
And it means that we're really not free to follow our own conscience. Because if my conscience says I have to, your conscience says, I have to send my kids to be a missionary in school.
Yeah.
Now, I'm being, like, that's not, I don't know. I don't want to say, I don't know. It's like.
Well, here, let me just see if I can't just. Standards are not wrong. By the way, if you hold, this is my standard. Now, if I say, you know. But if I said, Jim, you're not in a suit, boy, you're living in sin. What's the matter with you, brother? What's wrong with you? Come on, get with the program. You if you want to come. Now, that's a problem. Okay? Or if Jim says to me, Pastor, you're always wearing a suit. Come on, lighten up. You probably sleep in a suit. What's wrong with you? That's equally a sin. However, it is not wrong to have standards. Now, if you're in any kind of leadership position, husbands, pastors, there are certain areas that may not be fully defined, but there are certain standards that are kept in our church. I know when it comes to the Lord's Supper, or when it comes to Sunday school teaching, or when it comes to, we have certain standards. And is that wrong? No. Does it mean that if somebody doesn't like the standard, they're less spiritual, or that they're not holy? No. But if you have an attitude, well, I don't appreciate all these poinsettias. What do you think this is? Christmas trees in the church? Man. See, now, and you don't say anything, that's a problem. Then you're a Corinthian. There are a lot of times I do things in pastoral ministry or in my husband or my children ministry. I may not want to. I may not like it. But for love and for unity, I defer. I defer. And I have to accept that and live with that, not because I'm any more holy or special or better. It's just that is what has been determined. Does that make sense? So out of biblical love, I will or will not do something. And when it comes to other people who may cast judgments or may criticize, that is wrong. That is wrong. Does that make sense? So you may be in one case weaker or you may be in another case stronger. It all depends on your attitude and your motivation and then the resultant acceptance or so forth. I know this is a very touchy area. Yeah, it is. Linda.
which I was trying to talk about last week. Halloween is a big issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of saying the one that doesn't want to participate is a weaker. And, you know, you sit to the limit, just say you are ignorant of spiritual warfare. So, again, but also the kind of, you know, if, you know, the stronger brother has to grow in love, the weaker brother has to grow in knowledge. And then, as we said, don't ask, and ignorance is bliss. So the knowledge is, don't know, don't ask.
Yeah, and the growth is, I don't know. The growth also is, or it goes both ways.
Well, you do know, but
maybe you don't.
Well, you know that you know, so that you shouldn't know.
Well, so Jim comes to my house, and I don't know whether he has a problem with me. Okay, so follow me though. So I don't know, but he sits down and he's able to eat. I am not stumbling my conscience and he's not being stumbled in his, because it's a neutrality thing right there. And so there are times in our Christian lives, out of true biblical love, I'm not going to pick a fight. And I'm not going to get all wrangled over all the intricate details that may not. I was just reading in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. There are things we don't get engaged in endless genealogies with render questions. It doesn't bring godly edifying. And science falsely so-called. So there's certain things we just do not continue to harp on. If it's, that's why there are times I've had to, I remember as an assistant pastor, Dan, I want you to do this. And I'm like, I'd rather do this. But because he said, I submit. I have no questions. And I'm just going to do it. Why? Because that's what he said. Is it right or wrong? No. But for love and for unity, I accept that. I accept that. My wife and I get into discussions on times where we're doing different things. Can I bear my soul? So we're doing decorations for the Christmas tree. And I like to just hang them. Honey, let's hang them put them in a little bit further. And then I'm like, well, why I like it here? No, I like it for love. I'll put my ornaments inside a little more. And for unity, I will defer. Is it right or wrong? No, that could have been a huge blow up. Well, I want to do it this way. Well, you got to do it that way. And you know what? Most times in marriage relationships or parent-child relationships, if there are issues that aren't fully clearly defined, most times the disputes and division come selfishness versus love and stubbornness versus unity. Am I right? Yeah, you know, I look, I see where you're at. You're all there. Jonathan, then we have to keep moving.
Not to be a dead horse, but like, for instance, people that are not comfortable with eating pork. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know people that are not comfortable with eating pork. However, so it doesn't always necessarily mean that in their presence I cannot eat pork.
Correct.
They may choose not to eat pork with me.
Correct.
I may be eating pork and they may not be eating pork.
Yeah.
And so like I feel like it was like either you don't eat pork because they're there and they have a problem with pork, or you just don't ask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, offered to idols. But there's also even another sort of mix where they know what they know. They know what their conscience allows or
yes.
doesn't allow.
Yes.
And they're okay with that. But
yes.
They're also okay with
yes.
what you do.
Yes.
Which I know is the
yes.
point of what you're saying.
Come on, saying, you
like,
take over.
Like,
that's
like, with the prime rib. Like
yeah.
if you're asked a specific, that other brother is at a specific place and you're having a prime rib, it doesn't necessarily mean, if it doesn't necessarily cause an offense, that you
you're
have
correct.
To give up eating your prime rib
yep.
because he's uncomfortable with it. He may just choose not to.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. Does that make sense? Do you get that? That's it in a nutshell. That's very good. Now, one more thing on top of that, to Kathy's point. If you held a certain standard, people may call you a legalist, right? Our church gets called legalistic. I am called a legalist.
I'm called a dictator. I'm called a lot of things. I'm even a racist. Did you know that? I'm a racist. Just because you hold a standard doesn't mean that you're legalistic. Just because you don't hold a standard doesn't mean you're of license. The key is, why and what do you do with the standard you hold? Love, unity, third of all, this is good. Liberty emphasizes the glory of God. Now, you see the progression here? If I've got a decision to make, whether it's a ham sandwich, non-ham sandwich, with this other person or not, whether it's I go to a place that they serve alcohol or they don't, whether I play pool or don't play pool, whether I wear a suit or don't wear a suit, okay? Love, unity, glory of God. In Romans 14, were you in Romans? Who was in Romans 14? Hey, Eric was. You're there? Could you read verse 18, please? 14:18. Yeah, 14:18.
For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men.
Okay, so what he says is this. If you cannot do something, you can do something, and you love each other, and you are having unity and harmony, the one who can, the one who can't, the one who can't. You know what? God is pleased with your ultimate attitude and ambition because love and unity. That's why he says, 1 Corinthians, whether therefore you eat or drink, those issues of meat, offered idols or not, do all to the glory of God. Because that's, you were created to bring glory to God. Your love, your unity, glory to God. These are the three principles that you apply when it comes to doubtful things. There's a lot of things the Bible doesn't talk about. The Bible doesn't talk about television. The Bible doesn't talk about computers. The Bible doesn't talk about social media. The Bible doesn't talk about suits. The Bible doesn't talk about church services. What do we do in a church service? The Bible doesn't talk about decorations. So what do we do? Love, unity, glory to God. Rochelle.
That adds a whole other level to it because you're now, I'm not on there, but you know, if you're posting on there, you can be causing someone to stumble being in their presence.
Yes, you could. And that's where every one of us, especially you, keep an eye on your young people because social media cannot be a loving thing. Social media can be disunity. And social media cannot glorify. I don't have social media here. When it first came out, I said, number one, I don't have time for it. Number two, there are certain people I don't want to find me. I'm not a criminal, all right? But because of my past, my backslidden worldly days, I don't want someone. Somebody did years ago. Hey, Dan, how you doing? They got my email. I said, I'm all right. And I'm like, no, I'm not going any further. Because I sensed where this was going from somebody all the way back to days that I'd rather forget. That's my choice. Now, if I start preaching, all social media is evil, it's all of the devil, the prince and the power of the airwaves and all these things, then I have gone to legalism. All right? Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Paul says, too, that you may be with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father, your Lord Jesus Christ. The symphony. What if the bassoonist says, I want to do a solo? What if the percussionist says, I'm not beating my drums for this? Love, unity, the benefit of each other, the glory of God. That's why the Bible says, as a church body, we're all connected together. And we have to grow together. We love each other. Now, that means sometimes you aren't going to get to do what you want. There's times I don't get to do what I want. There's times in deacon's meetings or in other places when I first came, nope, okay, I'm fine. In my marriage, honey, I like, you know, my wife loves casseroles and all these other things. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. Honey, I'm making some good butternut squash soup. I love, honey, may I serve tonight? So I'll serve myself a bowl and serve her a bowl. But for unity. And we joke about it. And you're doing the same thing at times, aren't you? Yeah. And you know what? In it all, I want to bring glory to God. Because why am I married? To glorify God. Why am I saved? To glorify God. Why am I a pastor? To glorify God. All is to glorify God. Paul says, didn't he use his Christian liberty in whatever way necessary? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:20. 1 Corinthians 9:20. I've had this thrown a lot of times at me in regard to Paul. Therefore, he says, you do whatever you want. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, in beginning of verse number 19, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant of all that I may gain the more. Right there, you see love, unity, glory to God, providing the basis for what he's about to say. People forget that. They go right to verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. What does that sound like? I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach people. So if I'm going to reach the drunkard, I'll go to the bars and buddy up the bar with him to drink with him. If my wife wants to reach the strippers for Christ, she's going to go to the joints and help those strippers. Okay? It could get that absurd. Paul's not saying that at all. Paul recognized his freedom in Christ, but he chose to regard himself as a bondslave of Christ for the sake of men and for the sake of the gospel. You see, this is a nice little sandwich. You have the principles of love, unity, glorify God, and at the end, love for Christ, unity in Christ, glorifying God through the gospel. In between is the essence of what he's saying. Now remember, Christian liberty is grounded. There it is. In ministering the gospel, he then accommodated his mentality and his method of ministry to the group, not the sin he was striving to reach. However, in doing so, he did not change the message, nor did he compromise his morals or God's standard of holiness to reach them. That will take away any claim for legalism. That'll take any claim away from license. That's what this is all about. And then consider what he writes in the next verses. Now, I'm going to finish. I think I can just provide these simple questions for you, all right? And you can fill them in. I wrote down, and I've been taught and told, and these I really try to abide by. Number one, will this activity practice exalt God as he defines in his word? Now, I've talked to some, oh yeah, wait a minute, glorifying God on your terms, as you say God will glorify, or on God's terms, what he says? How many have ever heard, God will understand? Oh, that's pretty dangerous. Will this activity practice maintain my distinction in this world as a Christ-like believer? Will they see or is it going to cause me to be just like the world? The music I listen to, the language I use, my dress styles, all these things. Now that enters a whole different realm.
Because I am a testimony in this world. I am a testimony for Jesus Christ. If I love my Lord, want to be united together with the fellow believers in Christ and glorify Him, then I will look beyond myself and what I like and what I want. Okay? Will the activity practice maintain the purity of my body? I'm not just talking sexual purity, mental purity, relational purity. Will this action maintain, because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What do I do with my body? Should I pierce it? Should I tattoo it? Should I show it? How low should my neckline be, ladies? How high should my skirt hem be? So these are all things, well, again, I don't want to ever stumble anybody else either. Which means, will this activity practice be done with a confidence? Can I say, I'm okay with this? Or is there a nagging in your conscience? I remember I told you, I was coming right out of days where I was involved in worldly things. And we had a pretty active young adult group. And one Sunday night, we'd all hang around. We were pretty good night. We'd talk Bible, talk things of the sermon. Let's go get something to eat. They're going to close the doors. We'll go to this. We're going to go to Pizza Hut. And I said, I'll join. What's the matter? And I shared with the one, I don't, because they serve alcohol. And I just don't want to be around that. Oh. And he said, hey, instead of going to Pizza Hut, we're going over. And he didn't say, hey, by the way, Dan's got a problem with this. No, he didn't do that. I appreciated the maturity level, his love for me, for the unity. Let's go over to, it was called Funk's Family Restaurant. It was better food over there. We're going to go over there. No, and to your point, there was no discussion, explanation. Why can't I go to pizza? I like pizza. I'm going to, well then you, no. It was everybody said, yeah, that's fine with us. Love, unity, glory to God. And everybody accepted that. It was good. Which the next point is about stumbling. By the way, a lot of times people ask, what's wrong with it? No. Better question is, what's right with it? Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. All right. Will this activity stumble a fellow believer? So in that case, the person could have said, Dan, come on, we're going to Pizza Hut. Oh, don't worry about it. Come on, let's go. And if he would force me to go or coerce me to go, I go and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, memories, smells. I am conscious. I am going against my conscience. Okay. And will this activity practice have the mastery over me? Am I going to become a slave to it? Make sense? I know I skirted through these last questions, but you can look at these, and this is a good little way in which you can determine if there's something that's doubtful or something that is not quite sure in your own heart and mind. Ask yourself these six questions. Any final thoughts, comments? Rosemary, real quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. This is basically the principle from Hebrews 12. Habitually obeying the word of God, denying yourself, casting aside unnecessary weights, resisting the devil is how we live. Let's pray. Father, what a topic of discussion. And I don't know if there will ever be a full of this because the topics and the consciences and the weak and the strong and issues and matters and our own human nature, Lord. Oh, I pray that you would help us to dwell on these things and focus on these things so that we would become mature believers in Christ who will love one another and be helping to have a unity one with another despite the fact that there are differences and despite the fact that there are weaknesses and despite the fact that we're human. But let love prevail. And let us indeed seek to build each other up in unity, and all to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're all good on Christian liberty now, right? It is a topic that really does gender quite a lot of, can be dicey.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.